Melinda and DeHasi are out on travel, and this morning I'm going to have Shirley Barber do the opening for us. She's going to give us a prayer to greet today and that we have a good meeting. So if you will kindly indulge her with your patience, she will do a prayer for us this morning.
First time I've been in front of a group for a long time. Go for bringing us all here safely and that we return home safely, even though our mileage is short, that we still have to be on the road. So watch over us, watch over each and one of us during the day. And as we get together this morning, to put us together with our minds, that we all agree or at least voice our opinions about the disagreement you want, but do it in a positive way so that we can come to some consensus of agreements for our issues that are before us today. Watch over those that have lost loved ones, the community, and to safely take the ones that have passed on, and those that are behind, give them sympathy and courage and forgiveness for, maybe being hurtful. But know that at some time we all have to go through that. And watch over all the ones that are sick. Help them to get through any disease that they may have. And again, thank you for looking down upon us today and giving us a good mind. Tani to.
Yorongo, Shirley, thank you very much. At this time, the next item on our agenda is approval of the minutes. Or approval of the agenda, sorry. Are there any changes to today's agenda?
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
There is a request to move travel number 114B01 to the top of the agenda. And I believe the requesters or the participants are here to address that item as well. So I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda with that one change.
Second.
So motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny to approve the agenda with change of a travel item to be number 1, 14-1B, and that will be the first item on the agenda as we move forward to adopt it. Any questions or comments or considerations to the motion to adopt the agenda? If not, all those in favor of the motion to adopt the agenda with the one change, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. So we have travel item 14-1B, and that is a request for the veterans. Jenny, this is something that you supported. You want to have any comments on this?
Yes, this is a request for 9 members to attend the Indian Summer Festival. They've been attending and representing Oneida Tribe for the past 20 years, and their budget is in there as well.
Madam Chair.
Yes, David?
Make a motion to approve, noting that it has been budgeted.
Second.
Motion by David, second by Lisa, to approve the on-back request for 9 people to travel to Indian Summer. This is a budgeted request. This is also in accordance with group travel as well. Questions or comments on the motion to approve the travel request for 5 members of on-back?
9
members to travel for on-back. Questions or comments? Any questions or comments from any of you? If not, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sure. Have a good day.
Bye.
Maybe you need to stay.
For that comment, Ken.
The next item is June 22nd regular meeting minutes.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the June 22nd regular BC meeting minutes.
Support.
Motion by Lisa, second by Fawn, to accept the June 22nd meeting minutes. Questions or comments on the June 22nd minutes? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
One abstention from David. Motion carries. The next item is the July 5th special meeting minutes.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the July 5th, 2016 special BC meeting minutes.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by David, to approve the July 5th meeting minutes. Questions or comments on the July 5th minutes? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to adopt a resolution titled Participation in Nationwide Elder Needs Assessment.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
I make a motion to approve the resolution, adopt resolution entitled Participation in Nationwide Elder Needs Assessment.
Second.
That is a motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to approve this item. Questions or comments on the Nationwide Elder Needs Assessment resolution? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a resolution, the Economic Development Administration Program Grant. It's on page 29 of your packet.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to adopt BC resolution entitled the Economic Development Administration Program Grant.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Trish, to approve the Economic Development Administration grant. Are there any match requirements for this item? And is there a synopsis of this item?
It's provided in the materials, Madam Chair, and then it also is provided that there's a 5% match, and that's going to be through in-kind services.
So is it a one-year grant for $100,000 with a 5% in-kind match? It's not cash? Okay. Questions or comments regarding the resolution regarding the grant? If none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is a resolution titled Revenue Allocation Plan for Fiscal Year 2016.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
I make a motion to adopt the BC resolution entitled Revenue Allocation Plan for FY 2016.
There's a motion by Lisa, seconded by Trish, to approve the revenue allocation plan for 2016 for per capita. Questions or comments on a revenue allocation plan for 2016? I believe this is a final $1,000 payment in the current approved plan. Questions or comments on the per capita plan for 2016? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to adopt a resolution titled Per Capita Plan for Fiscal Year 2017 to 2021, which was adopted by General Tribal Council on June 13, 2016. I have questions regarding this item. It hasn't been my understanding that if General Tribal Council approves something, we don't need to approve it. But if we approve something, it can go to General Tribal Council. And the other thing is there is an item on later on the agenda that's asking for a declaratory ruling on the actions taken at the June 13th meeting. And I'm also referring that this be deferred for a legal opinion by an outside attorney. I think the procedural issues regarding the June 13 action need to be addressed. So I think this item should be deferred at a minimum. Joanne?
That under the per capita law, a per capita is adopted by a resolution. The current per per capita plan that we're paying the last one out was adopted by motion of the General Tribal Council. The Business Committee ratified that motion by a resolution in order to conform to the per capita law itself. This is the same action that's occurring. This resolution simply conforms to the per capita law by a resolution.
I understand that when we do our revenue allocation plans that there are resolutions that accompany this. Again, my concern is that on June 13th, the General Tribal Council took action to approve a $2,000 payment to the membership for 5 years. And then there was a adjoining amendment for $1,300 for 3 years. So I think there is a contradiction here between the amendment and the main motion, and therefore I don't think this is ready for adoption at this point in time. There's no need to do it today. There's no reason why it can't wait and be deferred until we get the declaratory ruling that's on the agenda later. And if that doesn't suffice, I am also going to be looking for an outside legal opinion based on the procedural aspects of the decision that was conducted at the GTC meeting. I'm not questioning the per capita. I'm not questioning the amount. I'm not questioning the years. I'm questioning procedural irregularities, and I think that needs to be very clear.
Okay, so if that's the case that you just pointed out, that you're not questioning the years or the amount, then I think we can proceed, because all we're doing here is trying to make sure that we're in compliance with the per capita law, and so that we can begin other processes as we need to do them, whether it's waiting for the ruling or other things. We can always go back and rescind this resolution if it's necessary. So with that, I'm going to make a motion to adopt BC Resolution titled Implementing Per Capita Plan for Fiscal Year 2017 to Fiscal Year 2021, adopted by General Tribal Council on June 13, 2016.
Second.
There's a motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon, to adopt the implementation of per capita plan for fiscal year 17 to 2021, adopted by General Tribal Council on June 13, 2016. That is the motion, and I don't believe it's appropriate to move forward on this, and that is for the record. My statements for the record will be entered regardless of how the outcome of this vote is. And again, this is a plan for 2017 to 21, and it's not clear because the main motion was for 5 years at $2,000, and in here it's saying it's going to be $1,300 instead of $2,000. So I think there are some contradictions here, and I don't think this is ready to move forward. So I'm going to ask for a ruling if I can call this out of order, because that is my next step. And it's based on the content of the resolution and based on the irregularities and the contradictions between the motion and the amendments that were made on June 13th. So, Joanne?
I think the question is whether or not the resolution is in order in front of the business committee. There are two issues involved in this. One is carrying out the directives of the General Tribal Council. This, as the chairwoman has pointed out, is not the issue. The issue is the process, the procedures by which the General Tribal Council took action. Based on that, the resolution would be in order. However, pardon me, it is the discretion of the chairwoman to determine that this resolution would be out of order. Since I believe there is a sufficient amount of gray area in this, it is not a black and white decision.
Thank you, Joanne. Any questions or comments from the committee at this time? If not, I'm going to go to the floor.
Can you just state your decision then for the record, please?
Based on what Joanne said, she said it is my discretion to call it out of order due to the gray areas. And again, I think due to the uncertainty of what the outcome of the June 13th, because the main motion is the main motion, and the main motion was $2,000 for 5 years. That stands. Yep. And if there's an amendment that's contradictory, then we're not ready to move forward unless we're going to pay $2,000 plus $1,300. And I don't think that was the intent of the floor on that day. And I think from a procedural standpoint, this needs to be addressed, and it's not clear. It is just totally not clear. A main motion passes The entirety of the main motion passes along with its amendments.
Madam Chair, then.
So,
with your
based on that, I'm going to say it's out of order.
I think we're going to disagree, and that's okay, because I think we're also too at wanting the question clarified. So with that, I'm going to make motion to table to the July 27, 2016 BC meeting.
There's a motion to table. It takes precedence. Is there support on motion to table?
Second.
Motion to table by Lisa, second by David. There's no discussion on a table item. A motion to table, there is no discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? I'm going to call it as passed. I'm not sure that everyone responded, but I didn't hear anything in abstentions or in a negative response. Motion carries to table this item. Thank you. The next item is the Legislative Operating Committee. There is a June 15th LOC meeting minutes. Page 124.
Madam Chair,
Lisa?
I make a motion to approve the June 15, 2016 LOC meeting minutes.
Support.
Second. Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny to approve.
By me, by Trish.
To approve the June 15th LOC meeting minutes. You both said it, so
oh, I didn't hear you guys. Sorry.
I need to apologize. I'm just glad that people are responding. So anyways, June 15 meeting minutes. Any questions or comments? If not, all those in favor of the motion to approve the June 15 meeting minutes, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the Finance Committee meeting minutes from July 5th. This was held on a Tuesday rather than a Monday due to the holiday.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to accept the July 5th, 2016 Finance Committee meeting minutes.
Second.
It's a motion by Lisa, seconded by David, to approve July 5th Finance Committee meeting minutes. Questions or comments regarding those meeting minutes? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is regarding a petition to establish a health care board. This item is on 136.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to accept the financial analysis regarding the Mike DeBrasca petition on the establishment of a health care board.
Second.
There's a motion by Lisa, second by David, to accept the financial analysis regarding the establishment of a health care board. Questions or comments on the analysis or the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a petition regarding General Tribal Council meeting on a per capita distribution of $3,000 to $5,000.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to accept the progress report dated July 13th from the Legislative Reference Office regarding the Mike DeBrasca per capita distribution petition.
Second.
It's a motion by Lisa, seconded by David, to approve the LRO progress report regarding this item. Questions or comments regarding this item or the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to accept the legal progress report, noting that analysis is due at the July 27th regular business committee meeting.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
It's a motion by Lisa, second by Fawn, to accept the legal progress report, noting that the analysis is due at the July 27th regular BC meeting. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is update regarding the Oneida Sacred Burial Grounds per the General Tribal Council Directive. This is on page 151.
Is that scheduled for 11?
Pardon, Jen?
Was that scheduled for 11?
Yes. It's noted on the agenda that it's scheduled for 11 o'clock.
Okay. It will be a handout.
All right. There will be a handout or there is one?
I didn't receive it yet, but maybe at 11 o'clock it will be handed out.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next item is a request to approve a recommendation to appoint Nathan Keane to the V Bank Board of Directors.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
There's a motion by Lisa, seconded by David, to approve the appointment of Nathan Keane to the Bay Bank Corporation. Questions or comments on the appointment? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is a request to approve the Indian Housing Plan for fiscal year 2017.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I make a motion to approve the Indian Housing Plan for fiscal year 2017.
Support.
So motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to approve the Indian Housing Plan for fiscal year 2017. Dale, do you have any questions or comments or highlights regarding the housing plan?
Yes. I'll make it quick and short. It's on page 17 of the housing plan. And the major project emphasis in 2017 would be elder housing and elder cottages in particular to infill the elder village, looking at 12 units to be able to go in and starting in May in 2017. We'll reduce the size of some of the cottage square footage and get the project moving on a timely basis. A critical part of this is why the delays occur is we don't start on time. So we'll work with the development department, making sure designs are prepared, schematics, specifications, the bidding process will be all completed, and come May 1st, we should be in the ground. It'll save us a lot of time and money.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dale, on your acquisition of land for home buyer unit development, it says the output measure is acres. Do you by chance know how many acres you're going to need for this or what your request is for the acreage?
Are you talking about a particular page?
Yeah, it's on page 7 of your report. It's kind of halfway down the chart. And it says activity is the acquisition of land for home buyer unit development, and the output measure is acres. And it says when recipient takes title to the land, and how much acreage are you looking at acquiring for this objective?
Well, there is an acreage involved in this particular project because we already have the land. It's over at Elder Village.
So you have land at Elder Village for home buyer unit development? I thought that was a home buyer program didn't have to be elder.
That's a different program.
Okay.
Home buyer units would be geared for probably a land office. You know, ours is just strictly, it's on page 18. The number of units we plan on developing is 12. It's on section 4.9. And there's no land to be purchased. We're infilling what we have where there's infrastructure.
So it says an actual number of acres purchased in program year. I'm just inquiring about how much acreage do you have available then? How much have you acquired? How much do you have available? Is there an intent to ask for more acreage?
No, there will be no more acreage requested. We have the, Elder Village has lots, and there's modifications going on right now, so we'll have about 40 sites available. We have only 8 in there right now. So we'll have plenty of space for the next 3 to 4 years to infill. And also Uska Village, that development's coming along, and there we're looking at family units there in fourplexes. The construction's ongoing right now in the first fourplex, and there's room in there for about another 32 units there.
Are the fourplexes for elders or for anyone?
For anyone.
Anyone.
Family being a family of one. They are two-bedroom units. The end units on the fourplexes are bedrooms are on the same floor, and the two units in the middle has a loft. It's just still viewed as a second bedroom.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for Dale? Kathy? Lisa? Go ahead, Lisa. You have a question?
Dale, just for clarification, because the chart that's listed on 6, 7, and part of 8, that's the information that comes directly from NASDA in your report, in the actual IHP. And then the potential outcomes is what we're trying to get to.
Correct.
With the development of the housing plan. Correct. I just want to make sure that that's clear, because I'm not sure that the chairwoman's question was quite answered, because that chart comes right out of NASDA. It's part of the overall goals and objectives for the program.
Correct.
You're right. Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Kathy?
Thank you. I have a question for Dale. I haven't read the Oneida Eye lately, so I was just wondering, are you back in your office yet? Are you able to work out of your office?
My old office is still locked up.
Oh, you're locked out of your office yet?
Well, I have an office, but not my old office.
It's someplace else?
Yes.
Where?
On the first floor, which is actually nicer because there's 24 steps up to my old office. And this past year, I prefer less steps up.
So you have something to work out of.
I have someplace, yes.
Thank you.
There's a motion by Lisa, second by Fawn, to approve the Indian Housing Plan for fiscal year 2017. Are there any other questions or comments? If not, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you.
Next item is an update and presentation for information regarding the youth leadership event from Washington, D.C.
Motion to accept, Madam Chair.
Motion by David to accept the presentation and information as information. The event was, I think very well attended from the standpoint of the youth. We got compliments on our kids from time to time from people that we interacted with, and I just wanted to note that even on the airplane on the way out, one of the flight attendants said, "This is one of the best behaved groups we've ever seen." And other people that we interacted with, you know, noted again their demeanor, how well behaved they were, their inquiries, their questions, their responses. So I think we have a lot to be proud of in our youth, and I think we had a good cross-section of kids throughout the community, which included two students from the Milwaukee area. Jenny?
Just a quick question. How much was budgeted for the event?
$30,000.
And that was all spent?
Yes, it was.
And then how much was fundraised?
I don't have that number offhand. We did three fundraisers. We did was a chili fry bread sale. We did a raffle at the GTC, which didn't go off too well. And then we had a bake sale that went very well. I think the bake sale and the food sale at the VFW were our best opportunities. You know, I'm going to guess around $900 was raised, but don't quote me on that. It's approximately. All the money was given to the students, and only to the students, so they could have spending money for any incidentals or souvenirs. And I think it was very good for them to have. Some kids can afford to bring money, and some kids can't. And again, I think they were well-behaved, and I think overall it was a good experience for everybody. I don't really have anything to say that I think to do differently maybe is not have such a long day, because we were on the bus sometimes at 7 in the morning and breakfast at 6, but the kids were very good about getting up, being on time for breakfast, and then being on the bus, because our tour guide did not wait for us. But the bus driver was great. Lisa?
Yep. I just wanted to say that I think that your office did an excellent job on getting this coordinated. I heard lots of good feedback about it, and I just wanted to make sure that we took this opportunity to say thank you to you and Don and whoever else was involved with getting it organized, because it's a lot to take on a big group like this. Coming from an events background where I did coordination of large groups, I understand the meticulous planning that needs to go into these kinds of activities, especially with youth. So kudos to you guys. Great job, and we really appreciate you put forth the effort to do this.
Thank you. And Laura Skinner and Don were very helpful in coordinating this event. I guess they should be commended as well, because they put in time extra, you know, beyond the work day. So I think that's important to note. Jenny?
Oh, so there's plans for next year as well?
If it gets funded, there's a budget request and special events. If it gets funded, we'll look at coordinating that. We will start earlier. We started in January, and we were right to the wire getting everything done. But, you know, it's a process. You know, there's the notice to the community. There's the application process. The kids have to get their information in. And then once we have the names, chaperones, then we can, you know, start booking hotel, travel arrangements, both here and there. It was a lot of work. I think it helped to use a travel agency. I think the meals went well. They weren't the greatest sometimes, but they went well. I mean, overall, they were good. Of course, I'm a picky eater. But they gave us passes to go into certain cafeterias. We went to the USDA cafeteria, and Leslie Wheelock came down with her staff to say hi to the kids. So that was nice. But she just dropped in. She goes, "How did you get in here?" I said, "I don't know. The tour. It was part of a package." And she said it's not easy to get into their cafeteria. But they did get us into some good places.
So my question is, are you asking for the same amount for next year, $30,000?
I'm asking for
$35,000, okay.
You know, it's an expensive trip, no doubt, but I think we did it as lean as possible. And, I think it was a cross-section of kids, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade kids. And I just think we have really good students in the community. And I know some of them have traveled, and some of them have never traveled. So it was good to have that cross-section. A little nervous going through the airport and making sure we didn't lose anybody.
You have everybody hold hands.
No, but I would have liked to. But no, they were good. It was a lot of work. That's all I know. I was tired every day when I went to bed. I couldn't wait.
I know the journals were a really nice touch, too, seeing the reflections of the kids and seeing what their thoughts were about. I think it really hit home to me, the one that talked about the Arlington Cemetery and their realization of what war really costs us in our nation. And so it was good to see the reflections that they did. Mm-hmm. So it's good.
Yeah, and I think that's where the kids were really well-behaved. You know, they understood, you know, every morning I gave a short spiel about what we're going to do and what the expectation was, about being respectful and knowing that sometimes you go to places, you know, and that morning I said, you know, this is a place of mourning, so we have to be mindful of the people. There was a funeral going on while we were there, but we weren't like right by them, but across the graveyard, a section of the graveyard, you could see a horse and carriage and the military people. So it's a very somber event. But that was probably one of the longer days, because the cemetery is a square mile. It's pretty big. Yeah. And so we were all throughout that cemetery, and it was, and every day it was hot. It was really hot to be out, because you're out in the heat and there's no way to get out of it, or a lot of places there wasn't a lot of shade, but it was good. Mitzi, did you have a comment or question?
Yeah, I wanted to read the thank you note so everyone can hear it, and that it's on the record. Dear Oneida Business Committee, I would like to thank you for the following, for me, allowing me to go to I can't even see it. I apologize. The youth leadership trip.
I had a lot of fun meeting new kids and visiting places I have never seen before. Some of my favorite places were the National Museum of American Indian, the Holocaust Memorial Museum, the Capitol, and the Veterans Memorial. The best part was I got to experience it all with my peers. The Veteran Memorial was interesting to see all the veterans who fought for our country. While we were there, we got to meet a veteran who fought in the Vietnam War and World War II. He told us some of the stories while he was fighting. After he was done, we all thanked him for his service and all left. I also had fun meeting Senator Tammy Baldwin and Congressman Ribble. Lastly, I would like to thank all the chaperones for taking good care of us. Young go, Kaylee Schuyler. Kaylee Schuyler also, after this, became Miss Little Oneida, I believe.
Junior Miss.
I also wanted to say it was really interesting to read these each one of the journals. I had to pick and choose some of the little tips out of the journals. But after reading them, the majority of these children who have never traveled, I would say probably well over half had not traveled at all out of the 12 students. In every one of their journals, they had stated that this they understood it was one-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it would be something that they'll remember for the rest of their lives. And also saying that, I took the journals home and read them, and when I was reading them, my husband goes to Washington, D.C. quite frequently, and he had been at the Veteran Memorial a couple of times. And while he was there, his last visit last month, he thought it was a disgrace on some of the students that had been there. They had some tours going through, and kids were on their cell phones and laughing, and it was very loud. And when I read one of the ones where the child had teared up and had finally got the concept of what really happened, and he said, now, why couldn't some of those other children have gotten that? He said he paid a lot. He contributed a lot to the chaperones. But he said the kids he felt were more sensitive. And he feels that on a whole, he said he doesn't know what it is, but it seems that Native American children seem to have more of a sense of respect. And I think that's very important that we all know that. So I just want to share the thank you to the BC from these children, but also that this is something that they will have for the rest of their lives.
Any other questions or comments? If not, there's a motion by Lisa, second by, nope. Is there a motion?
Mm-hmm. David.
There's a motion by David to accept the youth leadership event. Is there a second?
I
didn't write it down. Anyways, there's a motion made and seconded to approve or accept as information the youth leadership event, June 12th to the 16th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to enter e-poll results for the record approving the letter of support from Oneida Business Committee for a grant application submission by Oneida Nation Gang Task Force Program seeking funding and aimed at decreasing risk of girls entering the juvenile system.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Support.
Second. Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. Regarding the e-poll results for this item, for the grant. Questions or comments on this item? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to enter an e-poll for an e-poll results into the record for approval of travel for DeHasse to the food distribution program on Indian reservations meeting in Norman, Oklahoma, July 11th to the 13th.
So moved.
Second, noting that it was 100% grant funded.
Questions or comments on this item? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to approve to direct the treasurer and chief counsel to submit declaratory ruling request to the Oneida Judiciary by July 15th regarding the chairwoman Tina Danforth's opinion that the June 13th General Tribal Council meeting for capital motion and amendments had irregularities and needed further discussion by General Tribal Council. This is questions, comments? Joanne, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. When this matter was brought forward, I began doing the research in regards to prior Oneida Appeals Commission actions, which are applicable under the judiciary law. There were two prior actions. The first occurred in 2000, Ed Delgado versus the Oneida Business Committee. And in that ruling, the Oneida Appeals Commission stated that it is not in a position to respond to declaratory rulings regarding actions taking place within a General Tribal Council meeting, that the structure of the tribe is set up such that the General Tribal Council is a legislative body, and legislative questions are best process questions are best answered by that body. And they dismissed that request from Mr. Delgado regarding a declaratory ruling. It came up again in 2013, Raquel Hill versus the Oneida Business Committee and the General Tribal Council. That was regarding, I believe it was the adoption of the election law and the CIOTS voting. The Appeals Commission heard that request for a declaratory ruling and ultimately dismissed it, indicating again that this is a legislative procedural action best responded to by the body itself. The judiciary law identifies that declaratory rulings can be brought for actions regarding interpreting tribal law. Tribal law is identified as something adopted under the Legislative Procedures Act. It is possible to bring a request for a declaratory ruling, framing this as a procedural, not framing this as a procedural question, but as in regards to whether the action itself is valid in adopting what I've always interpreted as a law. A directive of the General Tribal Council equates to a law, a legislative action. So it is possible to bring a declaratory ruling. I simply caution the business committee that it is likely that it will be dismissed. I'm not entirely certain a declaratory ruling is necessary at this point. The General Tribal Council acted at that GTC meeting. They took action. They had the opportunity to question the action. They had the opportunity to challenge and request rulings on whether motions were in order. And those answers were given. The meeting was closed. In the past, our office, myself, I've always indicated that those challenges needed to be raised in the meeting and that carrying out that act directive afterwards was the responsibility of the business committee. So in regards to the declaratory ruling, I'm not entirely certain that the judiciary will accept it, although if directed, I will write as strong a request for that declaratory ruling as I can.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
I make a motion to approve the request to direct the Tribal Treasurer and Chief Counsel to submit for a declaratory ruling request to the United Judiciary by July 15, 2016, regarding the interpretation of the opinion that on June 13, 2016, General Tribal Council's per capita motion amendments were had irregularities and need further discussion.
Motion by Lisa to direct the Treasurer and Chief Counsel to submit a request for a declaratory ruling regarding the June 13th GTC per capita meeting. Is there support on the motion? Is there support on the motion? Second call. Is there support on the motion? Third call. There's no support for the motion. The motion fails for lack of support. Discussion on this item. Trish.
Madam Chair, in light of what the Chief Legal Counsel just stated, and the fact that it's, the judiciary would look at interpreting law versus procedure, I don't think there's a need for this. The earlier discussion that we had on this agenda was that your intention is to ask for a legal opinion outside the council, so I'm satisfied with that. I don't know that, to answer the question of procedure, I don't know that an outside council will understand our internal rules, but that's besides the point. So that's the only reason that I'm changed my position on this. Originally, I was in support of it to answer the question to make sure that we were in compliance with GTC direction. And in that vein, there were other motions made to the main motion that explicitly changes the main motion. And so, you know, understanding that we could have addressed it there, I don't know what the time frame is when a challenge to a GTC motion, we had that kind of thing back when we did the $5,000 per capita, I believe it was. There was a challenge by the chairperson at that time, and the business committee approved a resolution calling the motions out of order. We didn't follow that process, and so the declaratory rule, and I believe there's a time frame, I'm not certain, that we have to have that done. Although it was brought in as a question, the statements were also, so I don't know where that leaves us. So until the General Tribal Council makes change, I guess that would be the process that I want to follow. And so rather than trying to declare what a ruling, the ruling was clear, and it's the motion, it's actually the law that's not clear. So with that, that's the reason why I don't want to go for the declaratory ruling.
Because Joanne says most likely they won't hear it?
Because the challenge is that, because the General Tribal Council took the action, General Tribal Council needs to take additional action, in my point, in order for us to make a change. A judiciary ruling or a legal opinion isn't going to make the change of the General Tribal Council action. We would have to go back to General Tribal Council action and take that. Until that point, I would be out of compliance if I don't complete the directions of the General Tribal Council. So with that, I've already started some processes, and the debt payment is already starting to be paid. The budget has, as of yesterday, been finalized. So, I mean, with the number has been balanced. So there's things moving based on General Tribal Council action. And so I don't want to deviate from that at this point or delay at this point because of a question. So the General unless the General Tribal Council wants to bring it up and address it, then my charge is to carry out the activities that were presented there. So that's kind of why I'm... That's why I'm thinking that there's really no need for this. The question can be asked and answered, but it doesn't make a difference unless the General Tribal Council makes a difference, takes action on it.
Lisa, then David.
I understand what you're saying. However, getting an opinion from outside of the tribe's processes, I don't think it's conducive to what we are. You're absolutely right when you stated that an outside attorney isn't necessarily going to understand all the nuances of the dynamics between the legislative, judicial, and the General Tribal Council. And so I guess I'm of the opinion that, you know, this is our opportunity to exercise our sovereignty in a way that is pertinent to what we need to do here in regards to carrying out the directive of the General Tribal Council. It's a question that's being raised. I agree. you know, if the chair has questions, it is unfortunate because the chair that chaired the meeting called it in order. It wasn't challenged, as the chief counsel is pointing out, and general tribal counsel adopted it. And so whether we agree or disagree with what occurred, you know, I've been on the opposite end over the years of disagreements with general tribal counsel action, but you deal with it and you move on because that's the direction of general tribal counsel. And I've too in the past have challenged when I felt like it wasn't appropriate, but I did it through a process, and that process was the judiciary. At the time, it was the appeals commission. So I feel like it's our responsibility to exercise our decisions and our sovereignty in a way that conforms to this what we've done from a structural perspective, which is creation of the judiciary. If we're not going to use that system, then why did we go through all that work to do it? And so I guess I'm disappointed in the change of heart.
David?
Joanne, can you kind of give a brief summary of that night, of your recollection of what happened? Because it was voted twice because it was a misconception in the crowd. So I believe the chairwoman did ask for a second vote just to clarify, and she did clarify it. And then the other question I have for you, have you did any research in the past if this same scenario has happened? I'm recalling the one stop over here where they actually had the gaming on there, and the amendment actually superseded the main motion. So I want to know if there's any history in the past, if this ever happened before, and if you could bring that back for the next meeting.
Yes, I have conducted the history, and I have listened to the audio regarding that particular evening. The action that you're referencing is actually two separate motions. So two separate main motions. We do this regularly in regards to adoption of the budget, move to adopt the budget, and then making multiple changes underneath it. We do it in regards to adoption of the agenda. We've done it in regards to adoption of various motions. For example, there was a per capita position. A wage increase petition submitted, and there was a motion to approve the petition. There was a second. There was an amendment to that motion that reduced the salary level in the petition and placed additional limitations on the payment of that wage increase. Very similar to what we have in front of us today. Robert's Rules of Order says that a main motion brings an action of business before the body, and in order to be germane, in order to be valid, it must be related to the subject matter. The 10-day notice policy says the only subject you can bring before the General Tribal Council is one that's been properly noticed. We've received multiple per capita petitions in the past and rejected the petition but accepted a per capita somewhat less than that by a subsequent motion. Robert's Rules of Order says that any amendment that is related to the subject matter of the main motion is in order. They, in fact, have a specific example where a main motion is offered to commend a member, and an amendment to that motion deletes the word commend and inserts the word censures and identifies that that is an action that is in order. It is germane to the main motion, even though it flips it on its head. The main motion at this meeting was made, motion to adopt the petition. It was explained. There was discussion. An amendment was made to reduce it to 1,300. It was challenged. It was ruled to be in order. It was explained at least three times when a vote was taken. And then a subsequent motion was made to reduce it from 5 years to three. That motion ultimately failed. It was also explained several times before the vote. You yourself made an amendment to the debt payment plan. That was explained, as well as the First Amendment that passed was explained. And that motion passed. There was a privileged question about making additional motions, and they were ruled that we had a main motion and two motions on the floor. There was a call for the question. The main motion was explained, including the impact of the two amendments that had been made, so that it was 1,300, not 2,000, and the debt payment program would be utilized. and that it was for a five-year period. They began the vote. There was a question raised about they didn't know what they were voting on. She recalled the election board members, explained the vote and the motion again, and then we conducted the count on the vote. So it was explained multiple times during the meeting. We moved on to the next subject after that was concluded, and then we concluded the meeting shortly thereafter, having run out of time.
And then one more clarification, went Robert's Rules of Order. Just the last meeting that we just went through, where actually they make a motion on the floor and then they are able to go back and change it multiple times. Is that acceptable?
It's in Robert's Rules of Order, no, that is not an acceptable process. It cannot be done. Under the General Tribal Council processes for years, decades, that has been an acceptable process to clarify words within there. There are some limitations, and it's quite fluid in how we do that. Sometimes it's in order. Sometimes the determination is we've gone too far down the road to make changes to the wording. Or that the wording changes suggest that it changes the nature of the motion itself. There are a number of examples of that having occurred before the – I use 2008 as sort of a pivot period because now we're in the stipend era. Before the stipends and after the stipends, we've done that on a regular – and that's a General Tribal Council action. That's not in Robert's Rules of Order.
Any other questions or comments, Brandon and Kathy?
Yeah, I guess I am in agreement with what the treasurer has stated. Anything absent of another General Tribal Council action, we proceed as we've been told by the governing body, and until that's undone, I think we need to continue on. Moving forward, and as Chief Counsel stated, that this was debated well. It was very clear to the General Tribal Council when they made the motion that the amendment did change the intent or the number, not the intent, but the number of the motion, and it was explained very succinctly, and the General Tribal Council understood that action, and there was many comments reflecting that number as well in support, hoping for 2,000, but also recognizing that being fiscally responsible, that this was the choice that would be responsible. And so I also am in that opinion that unless GTC acts instead of the previous action, we continue forward with that motion.
Kathy.
Thank you. This body up here for years has functioned on the misconception of the crowd many, many times. And it's just another screw up. I think when I first initially came up to this mic, my intent was to state that I think the most important thing of all is that there needs to be training for whoever sits in these seats, including yourselves. There needs to be extensive training on the understanding of General Tribal Council because it's not even understood here completely. There's a lot of disrespect. I've seen and heard a lot of disrespect towards the General Tribal Council, to the General Tribal Council, with the General Tribal Council. I've witnessed that, I've observed it, and that's my belief, that's my opinion. And I think the biggest thing of all is that you all need to start training or cross-training. It reminds me of the workforce within our structure. When somebody takes a vacation or gets sick, nobody knows how to do that job. And I think that's been discussion on this floor for many, many years. And it's the same thing, same exact thing. And there needs to be some kind of a training and understanding of how things are functionable. I have my opinions, you have your opinions, and each one of your opinions are different from each other's, as well as 1,500 people. I was there. It was confusing. somebody somewhere didn't know how to run the meeting or operate it the way it could have or should have or would have been. I applaud you, Tina, because I think you do a good job. I have thoughts of, I don't understand where some of you come from, because you're texting on your phones and you're on your laptops, and I don't know who's coming out of your mouth, but you're speaking from somewhere else, I think, in a lot of instances. And I think this might be the case with this problem that has come up too. It's unfortunate, but I believe with all my heart that it needs to go back to General Tribal Council. And just let's try to work together and upfront and open and honest instead of manipulative, because there's a lot of that too on both sides. That's just my opinion.
Brad?
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, GTC directors are GTC directors. The former the Appeals Commission nor Judiciary can overrule GTC, period. GTC actions are final. Now, under Robert rules as a parliamentarian, the chair of the meeting is a third-party person. When the chair places a motion before the assembly, that motion stands. So therefore, we had an amendment to the main motion to approve 1300, which passed. The main motion, which was also placed before the assembly by the chair, also stands. The chair of the meeting, once that motion is placed before the assembly, it is theirs and nobody else's. So GTC voted on two of them. So you have to follow GTC directives now. There's a 2,000 and a 1,300. Under Robert rules, that's clearly stated. And I'm a parliamentarian. The tribe paid for my training. Ms. House had even stated at one time she didn't want to be parliamentarian. Right, Joanne?
Oh, I've stated it on a number of occasions. It's not really a fun job.
The thing is, as a parliamentarian, I went through all the training, and that's the way it is in Robert rules. Once the question is placed before the assembly, it is theirs. And however they vote on it, that stands. So if you want to do anything about this, you're going to have a separate meeting just on that again, which will require the two-thirds vote. Are you going to waste the money of GTC again? Take your losses. The chair of the meeting that night should be sanctioned or something for her actions, for not knowing what she was doing and following the rules. It's just that plain and simple. Madam Chair knows what she's doing. She has asked questions before to me. As
most times.
Huh?
Most times I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. So we've communicated. Other chairs have communicated with me, too, on how to do things. So, as I'm stating, as a parliamentarian, I'll stand and argue before you. The motion was placed before the assembly, and under Robert rules, which have stated, which we run under. And when it comes to amendments to a motion, there can be as many amendments as we'd like. There is no limitation. I want that clarified also. When you're running under Robert rules, we want to make 10, 20, 30 amendments to a motion, we can do it. But there cannot be more than two at a time. So as stated, whatever happened with these two motions, they were legally placed by the chair of the meeting before the assembly voted on them. They stand. Thank you.
I guess my only last issue, not for you, Brad, but I guess my last concern is, an amendment doesn't carry unless the main motion carries. And the main motion was to adopt a $2,000 payment for 5 years. That carried, positive in and of itself. Amendments go with the main motion. And the amendment provided for $13,000. And it said instead, but whether it said instead or not, it contradicted the main motion. An amendment cannot go forward unless the main motion goes forward. If the main motion fails, all the amendments go away. So you can't have an amendment without a main motion. The main motion passed in an affirmative. Right here it says there was 1,068 in support of the motion to adopt a $2,000 per capita payment, 200 opposed, 35 abstained. And so that's the fundamental issue here. So they both pass, so they both get paid, or one goes away, or they both go away. It's not clear. And I listened to the tape. I listened to excerpts of the tape. There was confusion. People were asking, what are we voting on? And they were told, they were ignored. They were shut down. They were told, you can't ask. In different excerpts, there was questions of clarity being asked. Specifically, Mary Ann said, what are we voting on? And she was told, we're voting, we can't discuss, whatever. But we weren't voting at that point in time. It could have been answered. I listened to it three times, that excerpt. So there was confusion, there was not clarity, and there were procedural irregularities in the sense that the amendment was not called out of order. Correct. Two distinct issues. You can't do one that trumps the other. An amendment cannot trump a main motion, and that's the issue. Nor can an amendment go forward unless the main motion passes in the affirmative. It passed in the affirmative, allowing for $2,000. That is the issue here.
Madam Chair.
Did you have something to say, Trish?
Yeah, I said, and then it was amended. So the main motion passes,
and then
the amendment corrects it. So in that case, and because it says instead of, had it said something different, but the motion specifically says instead of the $2,000, and then it was later clarified about it being the business committee's plan. So I understand what you're trying to say, but I have to just disagree with it. That's part of what I'm trying to say is that we've already initiated based on this action, next steps. Next steps was pay the debt, finish finalizing the budget, and we've done that. And it was with the understanding, regardless of whether there was an irregularity that happened, it's with the understanding by the General Tribal Council at that meeting, because it was clarified time and time and time again, each time that we came to that particular amendment, I believe three different occasions, so that amendment was clarified, and the General Tribal Council were explicitly aware of the amount that they were voting on. So regardless of the main motion passing and the second motion coming, it was the understanding, and it was very clear and concisive that the amount was to be $1,300. I went forward and created the budget based on that. If we stop that now, we won't have a budget. That's one thing. Also, there's got to be a process to change it, to assume that there was something done wrong based on how we do things. We change things, and it's always up to the chair to determine which direction they're going to facilitate that meeting in. Joanna stated it over and over and over again. It's up to the chair. So it doesn't mean it means the person who's chairing the meeting. It was her interpretation that the amendment changed the main motion, and she stated it over and over and over again. And I really don't think that there's need to continue with this discussion. I'm going to make a motion to withdraw this request from the agenda.
Second.
Madam Chair.
one second, please. There's a motion. To withdraw this item from the agenda by Trish, and there's a second by Lisa. Discussion, Brad?
For your information, Trish, the main motion stands as is. There was questions asked, and you did not listen. Do we not have to change that main motion to $1,300? That was asked. The chair said no. It's taken care of. Don't sit and shake your head. No, I was at that meeting. I was listening. The main motion was placed before the assembly at 2,000, not at 1,300. There was questions asked at least three, four times. Do we not have to change that amount? And the chair of the meeting kept saying, No, it's taken care of. So that $2,000 was placed as the main motion. That passed. The amendment fails because the main motion was stated at $2,000. It was asked to change the main motion. It wasn't changed. So therefore, as I had stated, under Robert Rules of Order, which we run under, the main motion was placed by the chair before the assembly, which was under their control. They asked the question. The chair did not change it, nor anybody else changed it. Therefore, that stands. Thank you.
Lisa.
Call for the question.
Let's call for a question regarding the motion by Trish, seconded by Lisa, to withdraw this item from the agenda. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Kathy?
At the last BC meeting, I was discussing some things where I named the title. I didn't use anybody's name, but somebody got upset out in the audience and said, no one should say names and no one should say titles and no one should talk about anybody when they're not here. Well, you know, the vice chair is not here, and I think that discussion needs to come up with the vice chair being present. And those 1,000+ people could be included in that too.
Okay.
Madam Chair, can we move on?
We are going to move on. I think the issue is not resolved. We'll move on to the agenda. I will bring back something formally to the agenda, and we do still have the table item outstanding. The next item on the agenda is a request to accept a report from myself regarding National Leadership Conference in Hinckley, Minnesota.
Madam Chair, motion to accept the travel report for the National Leadership Conference in Hinckley, Minnesota, June 20th to the 23rd, 2016.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by David, to approve the travel report. Questions or comments? I'd just like to add that it was a very good conference. A lot of Dale Carnegie people there. I think it's something, it's a format that they did internally, they used internally for the organization and then opened it up. And I think that's something that could be done here as well at some point, maybe not this year, but to plan for it. Because I think we have a lot of leadership opportunities for the organization, and we have a lot of skilled people that have been trained. And we don't necessarily have to do Dale Carnegie. That was only one aspect. They were a major sponsor of this event. But, you know, we have other, you know, Stephen Covey and other models that we use throughout the organization. So,
is that something you want to follow up with?
I could, but there's no budget for it. So if you guys want to figure out how to pay for it, I'd be willing to.
I think it falls in line with our strategic directions, and I think that we had a similar initiative kind of identified, but I don't think it was actually assigned to anyone yet. So I'll make a follow-up motion to assign this follow-up to the chairwoman's office for further development, and then you can just bring back to us like what you might need or whatever.
Okay. Well, we'll vote on the motion to approve the report and to follow up after.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. All those in favor of the motion to accept the report, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Lisa?
I'll make a follow-up motion, Madam Chair, to defer this item to your office for further development and to bring back a proposal on how we could implement over the next year.
Okay.
Second.
Which item is that?
This is item A1 under travel reports. Travel section is item number 14. It's on page 252. All those in favor of the motion for follow-up with the chair's office to develop a proposal for over the next year, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Item B1 was entertained at the beginning of the agenda. Item 2, travel requests for Lisa to attend the Midwest Alliance Sovereign Tribes Summer Meeting in Pokagon, July 20th to 21st.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Support.
Motion by David, seconded by Fawn, to approve the travel request to Pokagon, July 20th to 21st. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention. Lisa, motion carries. The next item was a travel request from Councilman DeHasse Hill, Partners in Action Conference, Sault Ste. Marie, July 19th to the 21st.
So moved, Madam Chair.
There's a motion by Lisa.
Second.
Seconded by Jenny. My only question is, does his budget allow for him to
It says travel? He will not be expending any budget monies.
It says what?
He will not be expending any budget monies.
Any other questions or comments?
One quick comment.
Sure.
I guess for this one, it's got a lot of topics on it. It is important for us to stay current. I think it's too much for one person as an individual to cover. I do know that we have a couple of staff that go from land management, but I would encourage us to support, you know, maybe two or three business committee members to attend if they have it in their budget, because this is something that's
so moved.
So actually, I would include that in my motion to approve up to two BC members to attend.
Concur.
So the motion is to approve DeHasse's travel to Partners in Action in Sault Ste. Marie, July 19th to the 21st, and that up to two business committee members can attend if their budget allows. It is noted that DeHasse's budget is spent. Any other questions or comments on the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is operational reports at 1:30, so we'll move beyond that. Boards, committees, and commissions. Is also at 1:30. Executive session items. First item is chief counsel report.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to accept the chief counsel report dated July 8th, 2016.
Second. So motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to accept the chief counsel report. Questions or comments on the report? If none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is under audit. Is there a motion to accept the May 12th audit committee meeting minutes?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Support.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to accept the May 12th audit meeting minutes. Questions or comments on those minutes? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to approve the four-card poker audit and lift the confidentiality requirement, allowing tribal members to view the audit.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is a three-card poker rules of play audit and lift confidentiality requirement, allowing tribal members to view the audit.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Support. Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn. Questions or comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is a request to approve the rules of play for roulette and to lift the confidentiality requirement, allowing tribal members to view the audit.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is a request to accept the update regarding the print shop mail center operational plan.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
I make a motion to approve the Oneida Printing October to May 2016 report and ask for a final closeout report to be provided in 90 days, which includes any final transition items and timelines.
Second.
So motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon, to accept the print shop mail center operational plan and that a final plan be brought back in 90 days with the transition and timelines for the transition to occur. Questions or comments on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Follow-up motion, Madam Chair.
Lisa?
I'd like to make a follow-up motion that the Internal Services Division Director start including transitioning this item into her quarterly report.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to direct the Internal Services Director to include in her quarterly report these transition items. Questions or comments on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to accept a transition plan from Internal Services MIS Department regarding surveillance system replacement project.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Support.
There's a motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to accept the transition plan from Internal Services MIS regarding surveillance system replacement. Questions or comments on the motion? Did we decide if security was going to get involved in this?
Yeah, there's a follow-up motion.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We are on item D2, page 370. Under unfinished business of executive, D2, page 370. All those in favor of the motion to accept the transition plan, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, follow-up motion.
Lisa?
Motion to direct that an internal team be established from a minimum of MIS, OPD, and the Gaming Commission and Security to develop a full transition plan for the operations based on the recommendations provided in the report with an update on the progress in 6 months, which would be January of 2017.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. The transition team be formed and that the transition team bring back a report to the January 2017 meeting. Can you repeat the transition team members? I did not get them all.
An internal team established from a minimum of MIS, OPD, and the Gaming Commission and Security Departments.
Purchasing.
I'll concur with purchasing, including purchasing.
Thank you. So there's a motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, for the transition team of MIS, OPD, Gaming Commission, Gaming Security, and Purchasing to bring back a transition report to the Business Committee in the January 2017 meeting. Question or comments on the motion? Did I forget something?
No, I'm just telling her. Okay. I'm updating it now.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Okay. Anything else on that item?
Not today. January.
All right, thank you. The next item under new business is a review of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development on-site monitoring review report and determine appropriate corrective actions.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
For finding number one, I make a motion to request the Legislative Operating Committee to develop emergency amendments to the conflict of interest policy to address mandatory recusal in the event of certain conflicts within 45 days and to bring forward final amendments as soon as possible.
Second.
So motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon, to direct the LLC to develop an emergency amendment to the conflict of interest policy, which requires mandated recusal, and that the policy be brought back in 45 days. Questions or comments on the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
With regards to finding number two, I make a motion to direct the Chief Financial Officer to address training requirements, including that there is cross-training to ensure a trained employee is available during each step of the process.
Second.
So motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to direct the CFO to provide a training component for requirements for each step of the process for purchasing or for bids? I kind of didn't quite follow you.
For the second. Remember
addressing
the
sole source contracting.
That's the next one.
Oh, okay.
Whatever finding two is, I don't remember it off the top of my head.
Bonding.
Bonding. Okay, thank you. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
Regarding finding number three, I make a motion to direct the Chief Financial Officer to begin the development of an updated or new standard operating procedure addressing sole source contracting and, where needed, documentation of external funding approval of sole source where needed.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by David, that the CFO provide requirements and documentation for sole source projects for HUD. Anything else? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Regarding finding number four, I make a motion to direct the Tribal Secretary to lead the development of a standard operating procedure and necessary charter amendments regarding appointments to boards or agents of corporate entities which prohibit conflicts with duties as a tribal employee.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to direct the Secretary to develop SOPs regarding appointments for corporate boards to address conflicts of interest in the appointment process. Questions or comments on the motion?
Just that you're all welcome to assist. I invite you all.
Sorry, didn't hear you.
So open invitation for everyone to assist. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Follow-up motion, Madam Chair.
Yes.
A follow-up motion to direct the Tribal Secretary to coordinate the management responses with the Law Office, Finance, Housing, and Planning on behalf of the OBC by the identified deadline.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Trish, for the Tribal Secretary's Office follow up by providing responses by the required deadlines regarding this item. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Anything else on this item?
No.
Okay. Next item is a request to approve a draft letter of engagement retaining Fletcher Law Contract 20160718. Lisa.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the engagement and contract for the Fletcher Law PLLC contract 2016-0718, and that the funds come from the Business Committee Special Projects lines, with the understanding that they are reallocated from the Student Ambassador, Language Immersion, and Rights of Passage allocations.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Trish, to approve the letter of engagement and that the funds come from Business Committee Special Projects line, the Student Interim Project, Rites of Passage, and was it language?
Student Ambassador Program, Language Immersion, and Rites of Passage.
That the funds come from the three identified areas and special funding for Student Ambassador, Rites of Passage, and Language Immersion. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a review of the Business Committee Officer's recommendation regarding the personnel action. Page 432.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
I make a motion to approve the officer's recommendations dated July 12, 2016, regarding personnel action, transition, and annual evaluation follow-up, and that direct the Vice Chair's office to carry out the actions approved in the materials presented.
There's a motion. Is there support?
Support.
Motion by Lisa, second by Fawn, to approve the recommendations regarding the July 12, 16 memo regarding personnel actions, transition, and annual evaluation for this position. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to direct the area manager of HRD to postpone the posting of the Land Claims Commission Administrative Assistant position.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
I'll make a motion to approve the request to hold off on posting the Land Claims Commission Assistant position until the Business Committee and Land Claims Commission can meet to discuss and collaborate efforts to create efficiency in staff roles.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by Jenny, to approve the recommendation to put a hold on the hiring until the business committee has time to further evaluate this position. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to review and approve the business committee officer's recommendation regarding interim assistant development division operation report. This is a 30-day report for operations.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
I make a motion to accept the officer's update from the interim development division director of operations and ask the officers to continue working with the interim director to obtain more detailed report on the operations as it relates to overall measurements, including the plumbing department's work with the operations community and the housing, the newly developed housing division.
Second.
There's a motion. Is there support?
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by Jenny, to accept the update and continue to work with the interim director to get a more detailed report on the measurements, including the plumbing department. Questions or comments on the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, make Lisa. A motion to recess till 11 o'clock a.m.
So motion to recess until 11 o'clock by Lisa. Is there support?
Support.
Second by Fawn. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. We're at recess till 11. Regarding our 11 o'clock item. Who's here to represent this item? This is regarding the burial grounds. Can you come forward, please?
Off Troy Parr with development. This morning brought Leanne Dockstater with us to present a couple of options. She can go into a little more detail and then maybe we could answer any questions about potential options that have been identified through the LUTU process.
A request came into the planning department in regards to an alternative site for the for a cemetery. At that time, things weren't too clear, but we did get a, you'll see on page 3 of the packet I handed out, is the request form for them sites. And on the request form, there is 5 criterion that were asked to give help us to identify some sites. The request was then turned over to GIS, and GIS put the request through their database. Five properties were turned over to me to investigate. Three of those five failed because of one reason or another, but it didn't meet the criterion. But the two sites that did meet the criterion are the former Darvin and Edith Nagel property, located on Smith Road and Pearl Street. The second property was the former James and Dorothy Vanden Langenberg, and this is located at West 2132 County Highway 54. The land use, the...
Excuse me. I appreciate the fact that you have the addresses on here. W2132, where exactly is that on Seminary? Or on 54?
54. It's down at the junction of 55 and 54.
Okay.
It's
okay.
The old basement bar property.
Yep. Thanks.
We don't know these people, so it doesn't resonate anything.
Right.
And
I understand.
It's not theirs anymore. It's ours.
Right. So but we can't rename it until there is a use for the property, because otherwise we have
we're
no
not
reference.
Asking for a name. We're asking for a location. A location is an address, and you know, cross section of the streets helps. That's why she asked.
I apologize for that. I omitted that.
But yeah, this has kind of been a long-standing issue that it's no longer there. So we don't care who the farmers were. It's Oneida property. Give us a location based on streets and addresses. Okay.
Okay.
Just for going forward. Thank you.
The first property is located at Smith Road and Pearl Street. There's nothing there. It's just open field right now. So there's no address.
It's swampland? Is that what you said?
Somebody in the audience.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
At the time,
well, don't
when
interrupt. Let them finish, please. Okay. Go ahead, you guys.
When I did the, when we got the Lutu on the Smith Road and Pearl Street property, there was in the report, there was in the inventory, the natural resources inventory, there was a note, or part of a recommendation actually, from Environmental Health and Safety. They said that their map showed that there was a wetland on that property. But when they did a field inspection, they could not find any evidence of any kind of a wetland. So if there is a determination made that the current cemetery is unfit or is not suitable, then we'll go into a more in-depth analysis of that property and find out for sure just exactly what is there.
And that's the part two of the Lutu.
Correct.
So this is just the preliminary, which is what we asked for, was the preliminary determination if there's any alternative sites. You've provided that. And so hydrology, the study on the current cemetery comes back and it's determined that we are going to need to find an alternative location, these are the two properties that are up first for review in order to go through the second part of the process to determine if these are suitable alternative sites.
Correct.
Okay. Gotcha.
Could I add something to that? In addition to that, one of the things we noted was, in particular, looking for this size parcel, the ones that were queried were only this size parcel with those characteristics. So we are looking at the opportunity to look at larger parcels, subdivide, and dedicate a portion of it. Then, as we approach it with more detail, I think there are other parcels that could be subdivided that could present other alternatives. And we'd wait for the end of the hydrogeology study, then we would make a determination. If that was the case, we'd probably shortlist it down to a couple, which then would go into subsoil exploration. But they'd have to be really clearly good properties on the desktop review.
Okay. Any questions or comments regarding the recommendations? If not, Nancy?
I don't understand, first of all, why we're here talking about this when my minutes or my records show that when we hired the hydrologist, geologist, that that was also one of the tasks or one of the things that they would be doing was to bring back the studies of the properties that were identified. I had the opportunity to go to both sites. The site on Smith and Pearl Road has never been, there's not even a driveway there. The land is low land. It's wet. We walked out there. It's swampy. There has never been development there, you know, and we'll know why. The reason why, because it's unsuitable probably for development. The other property is located on the former basement bar property, and I find that absolutely unacceptable. It's on the, you know, off of the highway next to a substation of the Wisconsin Public or We Energy's electric plant. And one of these sites, I'm not sure which one because I didn't bring my records, is that there are only 7 acres allocated. We don't know what will happen with the hydrologist geologist study. So I feel like, you know, this is kind of jumping the gun. Today I thought we were coming here to get the results of the engineer studies. And until you can come back with those studies, we don't know what the plan will be for the current cemetery. So we've identified two sites as a parent of a child who's buried at the cemetery and for future burial grounds. I feel that both of these sites are unacceptable. You know, to find 5 properties and 3 of them didn't meet the criteria, I guess I'm having a hard time swallowing that, because we spend over $6 million a year on land. And, you know, to, you know, throw us, not us or me, to find 2 unsuitable sites is absolutely unacceptable. So the previous action was to accept the report, but it was not to accept the LUTU's recommendations. It was to bring back the hydrologist geologist study. I think that there are other pieces of land that are more suitable, and they should be investigated. They should be looked into. Not just here's 2 pieces of land and, you know, take what you can. The land on Smith and Pearl Street, I'm not sure how many acres. Leanne, do you have that?
That one was 15.46, I believe.
And then the other one is 7 acres. So even if we had to do what we hope we don't want to do, is to remove our loved ones from the cemetery and move them to another, there would not be enough land in 7 acres or, you know, 15 acres to continue to develop or to continue burials there. 15 acres sounds like a lot of land, but actually it's really not when you consider the growth that could potentially be at the cemetery. So I think that this report should have coincided with the geologist hydrologist study. You shouldn't have came back with your recommendations until after you received his study, because it was included as one of the directives from this body that that also be included in the money that was allocated for the CIP project.
Madam Chair.
Trish, then Lisa.
I had a request to at the last meeting, it got very convoluted because we were talking about 2 separate issues. One was the LUTU sites and how in the unfortunate event that we would have to take step 2, especially as the request of Nancy has been saying that for quite a while, what happens if the hydrologist comes back with a negative report? What's the next step? So the business committee took that and directed the management to go ahead and start looking at assessments. Requested the trust committee to participate. That's their role, their responsibility. So we did that. At the last meeting, We were informed by the operations that the hydrologist study wouldn't be available and ready for the regular time that we would that we're scheduled to be on the agenda. And so their request was to defer it to the 27th. At that time, the commentary that was coming back to the business committee is, I want to know how the LUTU is decided. So that's why I suggested that we put it on this agenda, even though there are two separate issues, and we explained it at that time. You can't do one without the other. That wasn't acceptable by the requester. So that's why we're here today, addressing only the LUTU portion. The hydrologists will come in, hopefully, by the 27th. Everything is still on target for that. So we should have that report at that point in time. So I'm a little confused now because you're saying it's not going to, you're understanding now that it's not going to be ready until, I mean, that we wouldn't have to make a decision on this. We're not making a decision. We're accepting a report as an update in the event that we have to do something other than continue to refix where we are at right now. If there's more that we have to do there. And again, that doesn't come through until the hydrologist. We're all with that same understanding. So I was trying to consolidate, or not consolidate, I was trying to get to the question of the LUTU so that we could have that just clearly understood. So when the hydrologist comes through and the report is done, now we have that information and we don't have to debate it again. So, or have dialogue on it again. So I guess that's my only intention, was trying to make sure that we're addressing the concerns, because what happens in the end is that it appears that our operations or the business committee is not doing what's being requested. And we've jumped through every hoop, and we've been doing everything and trying to support and trying to get to a determination. Everything we bring back, however, isn't accepted. So that's not neither here nor there. That's just the process. So we're trying to make sure that we accommodate, and we're doing everything possible. We're doing studies. We're doing research. We're doing cost analysis. All these things have to be taken consideration, and yeah, they're coming together. They're all part of the whole process. At the end, I'm fearful that the hydrologist is going to come back and say something that we're doing okay, we're doing good, but then is it going to be acceptable? Because it just keeps on going and going and going, and then when we get another thing satisfied, then we get another question. So I don't mean any disrespect to any of the families who have people in there at all. I'm just trying to say, if we work together and we understand what we're trying to accomplish, then we can get something good done, and everybody will be satisfied. It's not going to make everybody personally satisfied, but it will do the best to make for the betterment of the nation. So when we look at it in that manner, then we can get something accomplished. And, you know, Kathy even stated that this morning, let's work together. So here today, for purposes of this on the agenda, you wanted to understand, why did they come up with these two sites? What made them go after these two sites, which was a request that you had made earlier? And then how did they choose those two sites? And that's what they're reporting out. And then so, and they're stating that this is just the first step. There's several steps that have to happen. If we have to go in this direction, we're prepared. That's all this is saying. We're prepared for the next step. We can go into the assessment of the studies. We can then make some more determinations. If neither of these sites are good or are doable, then we're back to square one. And we've already done five. At that point, we've eliminated five of our tribal properties that we have available. LUTU will have to go through and search for some more. So just be aware, it could be an ongoing process. You know, it's trying to get to a medium where we can all be acceptable with the outcome. So that's why I ask that it be here. That's why It's not consolidated with the hydrologist because that was slated for July 27th. And it was already informed in the last two meetings that that's what we needed to do. We needed to wait for that. So I was trying to help the process, and obviously I must have hindered it. So I apologize for that. But in the meantime, we are getting one part of the questions addressed.
Any other questions or comments on this item? Nancy?
Yes, one of the reasons I'll state why everything is so scattered and doesn't come together is because this cemetery has been on this agenda over and over and over for the past year. And every time we talk about it, the people who need to be here aren't here. And so they come, you know, at the end of the day with, oh, here, you know, this is what you get. And so that's part of the problem. You know, you say follow the process. This is the process. Everybody's got a process. But when you don't follow your own process and directive that's given to you, that's why we are where we are. As far as these two sites, you know, the one that is on Smith and Pearl Street, you know, we already have one huge mistake. Why would you create another one? Why wouldn't you find a piece of land that is suitable on high ground? We talked about this over a year ago. And as far as, you know, shaking your head, know that this is not the trust committee's responsibility. The cemetery falls underneath the trust and enrollment committee. And so when we've had all of these discussions and all of this work that's been done, because it's been a year, the trust committee has never been here to take that information back to the committee as far as the directive that they're supposed to be going. One thing that I found out regarding the land office and the Lou 2-2 and the land commission is that they all do separate things. They do not do the same thing. There are three different entities, land office, land commission, and Lou 2-2. And so, again, I will say, like I did before, that it doesn't work because you have three different entities trying to figure out one project, and, you know, what about all the other projects that are going on when three different entities that I don't know if they work together or who's on what don't work together or know what the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, then how can you adequately do what you're being paid to do? As far as I'm concerned, both of these sites, just by looking at them, without the hydrologist study and without the environmental studies, I don't believe that this should have even come back on this agenda. Today, this agenda item is a waste of time. You should have waited until the hydrologist-geologist study was done where they said, this land is suitable, now we need to move forward. So that's why we're always trapped and we're always, you know, spinning wheels about what should we do next, what should we do next. It just is really frustrating because there are so many entities that are involved, and here we are a year later still waiting, still wondering. And I just find that just absolutely, totally unacceptable.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
I make a motion to accept the provided information as FYI.
Second.
A motion to accept the report regarding an update on cemetery burial ground issue. Motions by Lisa, second by Brandon. Discussion, Kathy?
I can't follow you because I don't have a copy of whatever it is that you're looking at. I didn't get a handout.
I didn't know you're supposed to get one.
Everybody's supposed to get one if it's on the agenda.
Well, thank you anyway. So here we are sitting again with another misconception and another issue raised. And I went and looked at the properties. It was very discouraging. I was also told, you know, when somebody comes to me and tells me,
You know, Kathy, they're just trying to make you and Nancy look bad. You know, they're just making fun of you. That's why they picked those two tights, you know. It's like, well, where is that coming from? I didn't even know about it. I don't know who the people are that knew about it. There's a whole lot of people sitting in the room that came in for 11 o'clock. So we got all these employees that are here right now. And we have questions, and we'd like to hear what's going on. And there is no geologist, what is it, hydrogeologist test, which was originally raised when? 6 months ago? 7 months ago? And we're sitting here with no hydrogeologist test
remarks or anything, comments. There was a chart that described that the timelines, and the timeline has not lapsed for that study to come back. I'm hoping it'll come back in the next meeting or two. And I think, as was stated, well, these are some recommendations for consideration.
We have all these people sitting here. Somebody should be able to answer our questions. But as far as, you know, yes, we should all work together. And in order to work together, we all need to be clear. No misconceptions. You know, if I don't believe you or if I don't trust you, that's an issue that exists. Let's talk about it. You know, let's work together on this. Let's come together. You know, my son can't speak for himself. Very trying. And I have a few issues of that, you know, when people want to use my deceased family members against me. I still have a problem with that. It still bothers me. And it carries on, and then this stuff just keeps bringing it back up and bringing it back up. I want to hear the hydrogeologist test results. And what does it take? Is there frozen money? Is there no contracts? Did you find anybody? Is there anybody lined up? Is there, you know, any? Is there anything that we can answer on the part of, you know, 6 months from now, are we going to come up here and say, oh, the hydrogeologist test isn't done yet? That's what I'm looking for.
Jenny?
On the last agenda, it had the chart, like Tina said, that it's not scheduled to come back to this meeting. It's just not done yet. The purpose for this today's was to explain the LUTU process and to start the search. So I don't know what else to say, but the hydrology study is not done yet. Pardon me?
That was already reported out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
I stated that was already reported out, that the hydrologist study, as I stated a minute ago, wasn't slated to come back until July 27th. We reported that out at the last meeting and the prior meeting. As a matter of fact, we reported that out in a Gantt chart, and that was in the packet that identifies the schedule that we were trying to stay in line with. As far as I know, we're in line with that chart.
Okay. There's a report submitted regarding two potential land considerations. At what point will that consideration be made?
Well, I think the way the process would work, again, pending the geology study, that would determine the results of a recommendation that would outcome from there. Then we would, if the suggestion is in the future use an alternative site, we would carry through with the LUTU process. I think we would like to also explore the opportunity to subdivide some land and use portions of land that would be suitable, as opposed to trying to identify one parcel in particular. And I think that will open a wealth of other opportunities of land base that could be suitable for this land use.
Susan?
I just wanted to clarify, there was a statement made that Trust Enrollment Committee is not here. I am a representative of the committee as the trust director, and I've continuously had staff here from trust or enrollments for meetings whenever the sacred burial grounds came up. So we're informed and in the loop and pulled together some of our hours that we've worked on the project, not only in meetings, but at the site and such. It's been over 1,600 hours
since Nancy and Kathy came to the Trust Enrollment Committee meeting in October 2013. There's a lot more hours with environmental. The team has been working to try to make improvements there because we are addressing every question. When you satisfy something, more questions come up, more demands come up. So there's environmental, DPW, wells and septic, planning division, underneath development division, so many areas and entities, over 3,500 hours through March this year, not to mention your hours and the LRO's hours. So there's a lot of time and energy spent on this project. It's not like we're not paying attention. We take this very seriously, and we're addressing it in the most reasonable way possible, considering tribal resources.
Okay, Nancy.
First of all, you know, this right here, this executive summary of analysis used in locating alternative sites for a cemetery, that was not included in the packet. And that's unacceptable. You know, if you have an agenda item, you need to submit the backup documentation so that everybody knows. You know, you don't just come in here. It wasn't even on the back table. It wasn't included in the packet. You just gave me a copy of that. So that's, you know, that's totally unacceptable. You know, the other thing is as far as subdividing a piece of property, I feel like the families of members who are buried at that cemetery from the original going back to 2013 and 14, for whatever reason it was, that those people were treated like they were substandard for some reason, because the cemetery allowed all denominations, Native American church, longhouse, people who didn't practice a specific religion, that it was for all Oneida people and their spouses and relatives. And for some reason, it got a bad rap. It was in the past called the Pagan Cemetery. It's where stupid and poor people buried their loved ones. And so when we move forward to select a site, I think that consideration should be given that we respect our ancestors and that we're not thrown whatever piece of land that you feel suitable. As far as the amount of hours, you know, I didn't know that it was the trust department's, you know, responsibility to keep track of anybody else's hours, including LRO and the business committee, and the amount of hours that were spent on this issue. When it became important and when they needed to be here, there was no one from the trust committee or department that attended these meetings and offered input. So I wanted that to go on the record.
Madam Chair.
Okay, Lisa.
I'm going to call for the question.
Call for the question on the motion to accept report as information. There's a motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. I just want to
Madam Chair, may I just request people who have inquiries that relate to a trust project or an enrollment project, please come to the departments or the committee with your question. That way you can get a timely response.
Well, I was just going to state that we just got the handout, so it's understandable why people aren't fully informed at the time of discussion for today's agenda. And I'm trying to read it myself, and I see in one aspect that says LUTU Part 2 process will be dependent on scheduling of staff time, all necessary studies and tests, as well as budget allowances. It is possible that identification process for a cemetery site could take 1 to 12 months or longer. That's just not acceptable as an answer. 1 month to 12 months to longer. I mean, if you just don't know, you just don't know. But I think scheduling time with staff, everybody's internal, and this has been dragged out for well over a year. And I know there's a lot of people involved, but I think, as was being said today, you know, we need to work in a coordinated fashion. And to get this done as soon as possible. I can appreciate the hydrogeology study is taking the duration of the summer. You know, that was determined back in the spring. I understand that. I'm not questioning that. But I think, you know, we can do things simultaneously to get them done more expediently, and there's always going to be a need for this particular item. So, you know, some of the points are well taken today, and that's where we're at. So, did we vote? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Lisa?
Actually, I just wanted to iterate to the team that I think you're doing a good job with keeping up with this. We brought forward to you a request to put a work plan together on how we are going to address every single issue that was identified late last fall. You've done that. The team has done that. You've brought together a CIP project that puts together in place all of the things that we've asked you to do. And because it is being done simultaneously, as the chairwoman has pointed out for us, there seems to be confusion by individuals who don't understand the nuances of how things are done parallel to one another when it comes to trying to resolve some of the items that are being done. So you are doing exactly what we asked you to do, and I want you to know that I appreciate that, because I think it sometimes it is confusing if you're not following from the first point, which was the work plan, to the CIP project, to where we're at on each step of the way. It can be confusing. I do understand that the information provided today was a handout. However, it's not new information, totally new information. It was on our June 8th agenda, where you did provide us the detail about where the two locations were and how you got down to there. The business committee simply asked for additional information to provide the backup on what went behind making that decision. You've provided that today, so I really appreciate that as well. So with that, I'll conclude my comments, and thank you for keeping up the good work.
Thank you. Okay, a couple more comments, and we're going to take a recess for lunch. So go ahead.
I just want to state for the record that this request came to me late Friday afternoon, and this was the best that I could pull together that would be understandable, and evidently it is not understandable. There is a terrible lack of knowledge of what the LUTU process is, and that statement that was made in the report regarding the length of time it could take to find a site is no joke. It's the truth, and it's not going to be easy. We have a lot of land, yes. We have a lot of uses that we can, but we also have probably more uses for that land we can't use. So finding a cemetery with the one of the criterium on this was that it have a low water table. A great deal of the land on the reservation, the water table is 1 to 3 feet below the surface. Maybe we should look at building a mausoleum. I'm not sure. But this isn't as cut and dry or as easy as you think. Now, if you look back at the history of the cemetery, you will find that there were recommendations against that site simply because of the fact of the water table. But it was pushed forward by the cemetery board at that time, not this time, years ago. So that's why we're in this pickle that we are in now. But if you have any questions about the LUTU process, Ms. Matoxin, Ms. Barton, I respectfully invite you to the planning department, and we'll go through the process with you.
Okay, Kathy? And then we're going to recess for lunch.
How many people are employed at the planning department?
I don't know.
How many people work in the planning department?
Right now we have a statistician, one, two, three, four planners.
And that's the entire employment?
Yes.
Of the planning department?
Yes.
It's four people?
Yes.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Make a motion to recess till 1:30.
Second. Motion to recess by Lisa, second by David. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Good afternoon. It's 1:30. I'm going to call us back into session. Melinda and DeHaas here are out on travel today. We're looking at operational reports. Development Division has a report.
Good afternoon. Just a couple highlights on the report. Just wanted to note component that I had scripted at the beginning, just in terms of the development branch and a renewed effort to engage in economic development efforts, primarily in land leasing, as well as exploring the opportunity afforded by the foreign trade zone, and just noted that commitment to that renewed effort on our behalf. The rest of the report is the standard financial reporting as well as operational update. I can answer any questions of the development branch, and I'm not real sure if I could have the operations or wastewater, but I could try.
Any questions or comments for Troy? Lisa?
I just wanted to note that I really appreciate the consolidated the effort to consolidate the report and start putting the division back, kind of like from the report perspective, putting them all back together, because I know that we had a couple concerns about that in the past, so I'm glad to see that they're all put back in the same report, that they're sequentially done, and that you're providing the information that we've been looking for from because this is all about the previous quarter. It's not about anything that's happening currently, so we know that. So we're taking a look back here and then making sure that things like the budget are included and then the work that was continued on, especially like in the planning and statistics information that was provided and things like that. So I just wanted to comment on that and let you know that I really appreciated how it was pulled back together.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Nancy?
Okay, what page are you on, first of all?
273.
My two questions are, the first one is regarding the health center. I'm a patient there. I go to dental there. And we were notified over a year ago by
Nancy, people. Nancy, this is a development report?
You're right.
Okay.
Right. I understand that.
Okay.
Over a year ago about the condition of the health center. And because I'm a patient there, I see it. In dental, there are cracks in the walls. We were notified that windows were leaking. You know, they look like beautiful varnished windows, but because they were leaking, the varnish is no longer, you know, what it was when it was built. The building, I believe, is, you know, 10 or 12 years old. I'm not exactly sure. So when I look at these, you know, reports, I'm looking for how and when are we going to fix the things that need to be fixed. One of the problems that was identified in the past was the issue with the project managers. And I know that we have a number of them, and we don't have any construction underway right now. You know, our one stop is up and it's done, and it's a beautiful building. But I'm looking at how and where and whose responsibility is it to identify, you know, that building. I'm not sure if there are others. I'm sure there are because of the past practices with our vendors and also, you know, with our project managers. So I'm looking at how long and when and where are the dollars, because there's always a budget consideration to do the repairs that need to be done on our health center. That's my first question.
Sure, and that would be covered in the DPW budget. They would they're responsible for maintenance of the facilities. I know they did some minor repairs over the past year of some essentially inner wall flashing issues that had arose that damaged the windows on the interior. So that's something I knew that they had taken on. Jackie's here. I don't know if you have
I just wanted to say the same thing. The window issue was taken care of. We did have to hire an outside contractor to redo what Troy is saying, and that was actually was able to be budgeted and processed through the Health Center IHS funds for M&I.
So the leaking, there's no more issue of leaking windows at the Oneida Health Center?
As far as the ones that were identified at that time, were taken care of. If there's been something recently, I would need to get back to you on that.
Okay, so I get it. You know, the windows are fixed. There's no leaking going there. But what about the structural damage to the walls. There are cracks in the walls leading from where the windows were leaking, actually right down to the floor. And I went into a dental room that I had never been in before. I thought I was in every single one of them. When I sat down from the window all the way to the floor, it's cracked. And so I'm looking for the plans and the budget and who will take over on fixing it.
That would be DPW's responsibility to have that evaluation done. We do have money in the budget for, there are foundational issues there that have caused flooring and cracks in the building. We are addressing some of that through the CapEx budget, and I can follow up. I don't know if it's pertaining to the windows or a separate problem, if it's the drywall or block, or I guess I will need to go back and look at that.
So there was no previous plan then identified of who and what and when somebody was going to do something after they fixed the windows?
I'm not saying there wasn't a plan. We're continually addressing issues with that. Some of it is in schedules. I don't have the information in front of me to see exactly on that item.
Okay. Then my next question is regarding Central Oneida. Nothing has happened for, you know, about a year. Doesn't look very nice over there, the way that, you know, it's fenced in on parts of it, and parts of it were cleared out, and it's just sitting there. And I, for one, have not seen any updated reports on what the plan is, even just to clean it up. I mean, the aesthetics of it, when you ride by, that doesn't look, if you're not going to do something, you know, to gate it up and just leave it as it is, I'm not sure if it's an environmental issue or what needs to happen next, but the community, including myself, is not getting any kind of feedback as far as what the plan is for that, for Central Oneida. I mean, we've seen, you know, the food hub and all that other stuff, but what's the plan?
Yeah, and again, there's one more year of cleanup that needs to occur on that site. It's to get it to the highest level of maximum usability when it's complete. Once that is complete, we are tandemly working on that, as well as seeking grant opportunities for outside funding to fund a project there that would ultimately be some type of community project, and the effort in that case is to reduce the amount of rent or the payment someone would have to make to occupy it. So we're seeking grants to construct it. We are developing plans. There was most recently at the powwow information gathering on desires for Central Oneida and the streetscape. The streetscape is another active project that's tied into Central Oneida that is has ongoing input gathering. And I guess at this point, I would equate it much to like the Packers had before they launched Titletown District. There's a point of acquisition, planning, and then will come the execution. We're not at the point of execution yet. The site isn't quite ready for it yet, and we don't have funding in place to fund a future development. But we're certainly looking to fund it with external funding.
So when is your projected date of the finalize the cleanup? That's the first thing.
Yeah, that I believe that's handled by the environmental branch, and I believe Vicki has projected next summer is when the site is brought to the highest level of EPA standards of the cleanup and allows the most flexible use of the site for future land use.
I saw some preliminary plans for the development there, which also includes a skywalk and a food processing center and other things. And when I saw it, you know, I just felt like, you know, you guys are the guys that are hired. We pay you to come back with these plans, but there was little or no community input. It was kind of like, here's the plan, here's what we're going to do. You know, you got all these you know, three like this, big posters that are all set out. I went to one of the budget meetings. And so, you know, I'm just looking at, have you, you know, the powwow attracts a lot of people from a lot of places. It doesn't necessarily mean that that is us. So I'm looking at what input, you know, the most amount of people from Oneida have as far as what they want. And I think it's important. I think that people need to be involved and people need to know what's going to happen, because I was very disturbed at looking at the skywalk. You know, this is Oneida, and the skywalk, you know, comes from here. It goes over the highway to central Oneida. And, you know, there are so many roads and so many projects on this reservation that currently are, you know, need attention. And we're already looking into something that, you know, I always look at something that's going to, you know, for the future. I'm always looking at what is the benefit to our elders. You know, an elder is not going to go from this building and travel through a skywalk across Highway 54 to central Oneida. And there was a big budget consideration for it. It was, you know, millions of dollars. And I just think that millions of dollars can be spent more practically to fix up the things that we need fixed now. I did have one more question, but...
Did you want me to respond to that?
Sure.
Sure. What you're referring to, I believe, is a grant-funded study that was done in conjunction with the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And it was purely a study. There's no intention of building it. But oftentimes what we're able to do is really push the envelope, think beyond the box, and very rarely do we end up with the conceptual, but it really opens other opportunities maybe that we haven't seen to make connections, and that's what that effort was. It's not going to be what's built. It's a concept. If we come out and show a blank piece of paper and ask, what do you want, there's not enough to react to. If we bring a concept, then we have something for the community to react to. So there was the, I think it was part of the budget meetings at the rec center that I believe that was the one you're at, Nancy, that I'd seen you, where you probably saw those displays, but they're presented there. And again, they're an opportunity to say, I like this, and to hear you say, I don't like that. But by no means is that a final plan. We're not even close to having a final plan. We're out gathering input at this point.
Oh, okay. Then my other question is, I don't know, you know, we talked about this a little bit this morning by identifying parcels of property and farms by the previous owner. So on here, it says page 280, it says the former Guntless Bergen Farm, and I don't know where that is.
That is down Seminary Road on the west side of Seminary down here. It slopes toward down away. It's just to the opposite side of the Vandewall Cornelius Circle neighborhood. Down Seminary. It's just a little further beyond on the same side of the road.
So that is where the proposed housing team and housing authority plan to develop neighborhood housing.
It's being explored as one potential site, yes. Okay. It has been, I understand it was acquired for that purpose, and we have been working to obtain water and sewer infrastructure funding, which we now have. Through a CIP allocation, as well as pairing it with the BIA roads to create improved lots for home ownership, home builders opportunities.
Okay. My next question is regarding the Three Sisters CIP project, which I believe has been there for 2 years. We used that $1.9 million last year to try to balance the budget, and then the money was put back in there. And so I had numerous conversations with Don White about, because it came from the previous year and no plans and no construction took place. And so my comment to him was, well, if somebody gives you $1.9 million and tells you to build something, why didn't you do it? And then he turned it back to, it's Little Bear. It's facilities. It's, you know, all of the people that are supposed to be coming up with that. And then I told him, get over there and find out why there's such a delay. And so here we are going into another budget year, and I drive through there quite often, and I don't see anything happening. So something that's budgeted for, especially, you know, the issue of our Three Sisters Head Start, we'll be going into the third budget year where we haven't used this money. And so I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, that project is fully underway. It's in design. I believe construction is still scheduled to initiate later this year. And I think the plan is to have it done about a six-month timeline. I would say by a year from now, that project should be complete. I would have to get a detailed updated schedule at the end of design. But we're well into design. We have a process. Again, we're not able to turn on a dime like maybe a private developer. Because we're a government, we need to first procure design services in a competitive way through an RFQ process, full design, and then bidding. And we're progressing through that, probably not at the speed everyone would like. However, we are trying to do it right and not take shortcuts and try and expedite it in a way that'll compromise the end quality of the product. And it's underway. If you need more update, the project manager, I can give you his name, and you can get an updated schedule.
That was going to be one of my questions, is what is the progress on the update on the Head Start facility? Because the budget has been approved for quite some time. It's been on the radar, and what are the timelines to complete that project?
Beyond what I just gave as cursory, I'd have to get detailed, unless you have some right now.
I did attend the meeting. There's a cross-functional team working on the finalization of the plan. We met this week. It was a very good meeting with the Head Start staff, development, DPW, to determine what massing would be involved, what roof design, what floor plan. So I know there's meetings scheduled weekly or biweekly now on getting that finalized.
And are you including the Head Start staff?
Yes.
Because sometimes what has happened in the past is that the people who are in charge of what you guys do don't coordinate with the people who are going to use the building. And, you know, as we can see, I'll use the health center as an example. As soon as it was built, it wasn't big enough. And things were not copacetic, where the people who work in that building would have been able to offer more of an input as to what would meet their needs. So, you know, I'm just looking at that as to make sure that they're included, because, you know, you guys do what you do, but they are the ones who are going to use the building.
I think we've learned from past projects that have occurred that we need to include all the people that are stakeholders, including engineering, the operations, maintenance, to try and come up with design that meets the budget and schedule requirements, and also a quality product so that it will meet the needs for a long time. So they are there was actually, my guess is, 5 to 7 Head Start people involved with the team.
Good.
Okay.
And then as far as project managers, you know, from what I've been able to look at in the past, is that we'll build something, the people will go, the architects, whatever, the engineers, the people who do the construction, they get paid and they go away. And the project managers who are here and stay here and work here, there's not a coordinated, I don't know what you want to call it, an effort to make sure that everything is exactly the way that it's supposed to be. Before those people take their check and go away, the project managers here need to make sure that everything is, because the health center, I'll use that as an example. Here we are how many years later, and we're still budgeting and we're still finding errors with the construction. And we talked about this in this setting before, about vendors who come in and do work that is unacceptable. You know, there's a list, and I don't care about that vendor's list, but I am concerned about when our tribal money goes out to outside vendors, that the needs are being met as far as the construction, the quality of the construction, and then if it doesn't meet the needs, what are, you know, what whose responsibility is to make is it to make sure that they go back and do what they're supposed to do, so that we're not stuck with a building that for 10 years we have to keep going back and fixing. So those are problems we've been able to identify in the past, and hopefully we can move forward so that those things don't keep happening to us.
Sure. Yeah, that's definitely part of our quality control, quality assurance process. It's part of the standard protocol back to the start, as Jackie had elaborated on, is we internally treat the client as our client internally. So if it's Head Start, we have a representative sampling of Head Start leadership, frontliners who can provide that meaningful input into the design, lead the project team through bidding, construction, and then up to 1 year after construction, we have what's called the 11-month walkthrough for warranty. And oftentimes we'll pick up on things that maybe didn't show up within the first few months of operation, but did at the 11-month. It's all part of the ongoing closeout of a project, but ultimately gets turned over to DPW for then ongoing operations and facility maintenance. And because we do own a large amount of real estate, there are a lot of different things that occur. And I don't disagree that, you know, maybe something wasn't done originally, but I think we're doing the best we can to address those as they come up with Jackie's crews. They're doing a lot of work internally. And from when I began in development, I certainly have emphasized the need to be out on site and ensure quality construction, ensure good designs, and we're trying to carry that through and deliver better projects. As you cited, we're happy with the way the one-stop turned out, and although it was a simpler project than a health center, it went fairly well, and I think everyone seems to be happy with the end result. So.
Okay. Lisa, and then Fawn, I think.
Two things. Just to kind of make sure that I'm clear, is it necessarily the issues that Nancy's raising, is it necessarily that, you know, something was done inappropriately, or is some of it just normal wear and tear on the building as well? I mean, the building's almost 10 years old already. I'm sure there's settling that's happened over the years. There's other factors that are taken into consideration. It's not necessarily because somebody did something wrong way back when the building first opened. So I think I just want to make sure that that's clear for everybody here that's listening to the conversation, because it's not, you know, necessarily due to negligence as being implied here. The second question that I have for you, though, however, is regarding the planning and statistics information. There's a note in here that the high school was supposed to be, the concept paper was supposed to be for today's BC meeting, and I didn't see that in the packet today. I don't believe that we've addressed it. So I don't know if it's something that got missed on the agenda or if it's an error because it wasn't ready for today's meeting, because it's noted on here. And so when we, you know, as I'm ready to make my motion to approve it, it'll probably be noting that that particular piece of information needs to be updated because we didn't actually address it today.
Yeah, I think of course we get these prepared in ahead of time, and it looks like maybe that didn't make the agenda deadline. I believe the concept paper is approved by the school board at this point, and next step to be bringing forward to a future BC meeting. I think it may have missed the deadline.
Okay.
I apologize for that.
Okay, just so we're clear.
Fine.
Okay. Just looking at the Three Sisters Neighborhood Improvement Plan, I'm just wondering, is there improvement plans for all the neighborhoods? Because I only see Three Sisters. I was just asking about Site 1. They took out the basketball court, so there's nothing there right now.
And basketball court, I'm sorry. The basketball court is up already. It's installed. The reason why we had to delay the basketball court is because the underground storage tanks were placed in that area, and we were worried about settling. So we wanted to make sure we had a, you know, quality basketball court that wasn't going to deteriorate. So we wanted to see how it was going to settle first. And then we scheduled it for this, like 2 weeks ago we had it installed. And then We put up new backboards because the other ones were bad and were in bad shape. So it's usable right now.
Okay.
Currently.
There's a couple inquiries too out by Wolf Drive by some of the residents. That there's really not much out there for the kids to do. I don't know if there's any funding out there for that, whether it's court or new equipment for swing sets and that. Lisa covered the school one. And then the last item on there, the fishery restoration project. Just update, I know there's been vandalism recent. How has that been going since that's been cleaned up and the lake's been open now?
Yeah, I did hear at the weekly update that there is an effort ongoing with OPD to step up patrols, also introduce some cameras to capture activity outside of the structure, and that is the effort to stop some of the vandalism that has occurred.
Relating to that particular site, were you formally notified after the last Just Move It event that there was an issue with the bathroom door as well being warped out there?
I haven't heard that. I haven't been as directly involved as the project manager, but I can certainly bring that back.
Okay, it's probably good. I guess I'm going to request, and it's not, directly related to what you've covered in your report, but if you haven't been formally notified at the last Just Move It event that happened a few weeks ago out there, it was noted that the door was warped to the extent that you could not open it. And so that is a severe issue that needs to be addressed. I'm sure I know the project manager was, aware of it, and I think starting to make progress or trying to figure out what to do next. But it's something that I think as the division director and as the interim division director of operations and development that you guys need to be aware of that. And then making sure that there's proper follow-through, because that is like a severe safety issue. If it was from the heat or whatever, that's something that needs to be addressed right away.
Sure. We'll follow up with that.
Okay. Nancy?
Okay. I just have a couple more things. Regarding the cameras, before I forget, I can remember going back as far as over a year when this project started. There were comments made from this body to a number of people, including the Herb Board, Environmental, the Land Office, to Little Bear, the people who work there, that there needed to be cameras installed. And everybody just kind of blew it off and said, oh, we'll look for funding, and that's not our department, that's somebody else, and we don't do that, and somebody else can do that, and we'll look for grant money. So, once again, I'll say it. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is going to do. And so there was vandalism there, and terrible vandalism. And it's a simple issue of obtaining cameras. You can tell OPD to patrol, but they have a lot of other things to do also, not to patrol there every, 20 minutes. They have no idea of when those kind of issues are going to take place. So here we are, over a year later, the damage is done, and who and when will cameras be installed?
It is being worked on.
Well, that's what we were told over a year ago. So my next question is on page 280 regarding the Central Food Hub. This has been an interest of mine since I very first heard the word food hub. I find it very interesting that you're planning on building a food hub when we have issues with shortage of corn. Our farm does not grow anything other than corn. There are no vegetables at the farmer's market that come from Junehequa. So to me, it's like you're putting the cart before the horse. You're saying we're going to build this place, that we're going to process food and do a bunch of other things regarding food when, we have the beef and we have the buffalo. We all know that. But it just seriously does not make any sense to build a processing plant or a place to, profile our food when we have a shortage of corn. And there's an agricultural strategy. I know that. I've listened to the audio, and I've read the report. So, you know, I'm real concerned about the central food hub. The other comment that I want to make regarding the Department of Public Works, and if you haven't already done so, Jackie, I would encourage you to go to internal audit and read both of the audits. There are actually two. I didn't realize that there were two. I read a portion of one of them, and they're very disturbing. And so what I guess I'm looking at is, you know, the problems have been identified, and working forward to make sure that they don't happen again. You know, you might be well aware that the cemetery has now been outsourced and that we're paying, I believe it's $17,500 for someone to come in and provide the maintenance for the cemetery because of the past problems that have happened there. So I'm encouraging you to look at those audits so that, you know, something like that doesn't ever happen again in the future.
Did you want to respond, Jackie? Trish?
Well, I want to thank Nancy for her observations. She is very keen on watching things that happen in the community, and I appreciate that. It helps us create some, fill some gaps where people might be misunderstanding some things. But I think this is also a discussion in regards to when the tribe is doing strategies and planning and efforts to do the beautification in order to provide public safety, in order to provide areas of recreation, in order to provide quality of life for the people. And the strategies and the planning are all done. They're being brought around together so that so people know what's happening in other areas. And as we stated earlier, it's not one project. It's a project of several projects that come together for the culmination of, for the betterment of the nation. So one individual unit, it's not that they're not aware of what's going on or that they can't make change to what's going on. What we're trying to do is make sure that everybody sees what everybody is doing, and we try to help each other come together to make sure that we're addressing issues that we might be faced with. Of course, you know, like we're talking about regular wear and tear, that's going to be a standard process. And DPW has a process in their systems that allow them to know exactly when certain things are to be done to a building. They know when to go to inspections. Planning works with them for inspections. So there's all of this stuff is cross-functional is what I'm trying to say. And when we come to one picture, one vision of the community, in the past there were several meetings that were done through the community. The first one that comes off in my mind is the coffee with the planners, where these kinds of concepts and ideas, once they're vetted and created to a certain extent, a certain level of possibility, if you will, then we put that together in a presentation format, give that to the membership, as Troy was saying, and then we ask people to comment on it. Not everybody's happy, not everybody's sad, on the other hand, and many people are excited and looking forward to the growth. The other thing is that when we're talking about the food hub, we're talking about sovereignty, food sovereignty, taking care of our people, the quality of life. This last 2 years has been about looking at what's the betterment of the nation as a total entity, because we can't individually keep doing things on an individual basis and staying separate of what she was explaining before. I want to give kudos to all of the operations, because through the budgeting process, they have really come together and started looking at each other, opening their doors, sharing their information, designing their works together, putting their initiatives together to understand each other, and always looking now, they're starting to look now just for
the betterment of the nation. So when we do that, we provide for everybody. And so, you know, I appreciate the commentary and your observations, because it does help us get better. And we see where we might be missing the boat. But also, there's an understanding that there is a responsibility within the administration to take care of certain things. So we can't micromanage them every step of the way. We have to give them that wherewithal, that flexibility, the trust in the leadership in order to make sure that they're taking care of the nation to the best of their ability with what we give them. So, you know, I just want to say that much and thank everybody for working together and for trying to find answers to some of the questions that are brought up individually. But with that, I'd just like to make a motion to accept the report. Thank you.
There's a motion to accept the Development Division report by Trish, seconded by Lisa. Discussion, Brad?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. One of the questions is, you're talking about with the surveillance cameras. Do we own the post office building?
I believe that's an asset of the Seven Generations Corporation that is leased to the United States Postal Service, but I'd have to verify the actual ownership of the building. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I think we need security cameras in there because of what had to happen earlier this year with the theft of rugs. Now, when the staff is done there, the doors are locked. We used to be able to go there until like 6:30 or so at night and pick your mail up. Can't do that anymore. When the postmaster and them are done, the building's secured because of that. I think we need security cameras at our post office.
Yeah, that would be a decision of the lessee, which is the United States Postal Service.
I just wanted to bring that up. Secondly, is dental end of the health center the only end that's been having problems? Because like last week when I was there, there was a crew that had to bust the window out. It'd be on the front corner where the road comes right in front over towards the Anna John. On that corner of the building was buckled. They had to bust it and knock it out. And it's like, how much is this building shifting each year? Because it's got to be fluctuating somewhat a lot, because for them big windows to be buckling like they are, that means the building's either sinking, rising, you know, or it's doing some shifting. So is dental the only end, or has the whole building been having problems with the shifting?
Well, that was the concentrated area on that side. We do notice, especially with the flooring, shifting, and you can notice with the parking lot, the entranceway. I'll follow up with the window. I'm not sure if that was related or there was a rock that it wasn't hit. Okay.
It was, you could see where the window had buckled out.
Okay.
And it was looked like it had a crack started. Because okay. They actually hit it to break it to get it to come down.
Okay.
I noticed that where the pharmacy was, too, before when they had all them windows in there. Because I had brought that issue up before they changed that. That you had to do something because those windows were bowing out, that they were going to explode.
Thank you.
So is it just a structural issue? They didn't put in the footings proper or what?
I wasn't involved with the construction of that building or the analysis. I don't know that there's been analysis on that. I don't know if you know more.
That was before my time in the development division also. However, that's the first I've heard of any of the movement issues. I hadn't heard those.
Is there any way you guys could do a study on that and check on it? Because to me, with that window bowing like that, that means the building shifted.
What I think not necessarily it fit and finish has something to do with it, proper allowances between materials. The building is structurally held together on a frame that is a structural frame, and if windows may be moving, it's oftentimes caused by differential movement of materials, dissimilar materials together, and if there isn't quite enough space for them to move as temperature moves. So I wouldn't jump to the conclusion that it's structural, but I do. I know some of the issues were caused by a flashing detail that wasn't exactly correct. That I've heard in that project. But beyond that, I hadn't heard of any flooring or other issues.
Yeah, I remember when that building was built, it was using southern yellow pine, and that was wet wood. It wasn't true kiln dried. It was air dried. And being, I was in the logging industry myself, and I was a grader. And I know by looking at the timbers in there, you can see the cracks from it drying out. So when that building was built, the material that was used shouldn't have been used. I think that's what's causing a lot of problems now, is that because that southern pine was, I remember they told me it was like 26%, and it should have been closer to 14 when it was put in. So that's what I'm getting at, because you got materials that shouldn't have been used in there. If there's some way you can just check and see if the building is fluctuating or what's happening, because it seems like there's a lot of questions being brought up, a lot of repairs going into that place. Thank you.
I will check on that.
Thank you. Lisa, then Nancy.
I'm going to call for the question. I have a follow-up motion for Jackie then.
This is a call for a question on the motion to accept the Development Division report. Motion by Trish, second by Lisa. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, I'm going to make a follow-up motion for the Interim Division Director of Operations to analyze the questions that have come up today regarding the Health Center facility, and then provide information back to the Business Committee for the next BC work meeting, which is basically in a month, for the August BC work meeting. So it can just come to that agenda for us to get updated on what you were able to discover.
Okay.
Second. Motion by Lisa, second by Jenny, for the Interim Development Division Director to bring back an analysis regarding the Oneida Health Center facility, and that be brought back to the August agenda. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Nancy?
Okay, first thing I want to talk about is, the theft of the rugs at the post office. They have reopened the main entrance. You can go there any time of the day or night and pick up your mail if you have a post office box, or mail it. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to talk about is the statistician and the quality of life survey. I know that we're getting ready because it's a two-year survey. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so in reviewing that, because I have 2012, 2014, in reviewing all of that information, what you guys do isn't really included in there. You know, they're given, what do you think are the most important priorities, housing, economic development, whatever those issues were. But I think now, I don't know if she's got the survey ready to go or how that all works. We talked about getting accurate information regarding this survey, because only one survey goes per household. And as tribal members, we all know that there are a lot of households where multiple people live in that household. There could be 3-5 adults, but only one survey per household. So I think getting a more accurate count of what the people want and what the people think is important to them. Like, we've got all these ideas floating around about a high school. And, you know, I've asked questions in the past, where's that coming from? Where are you going to get the money from? Where did that idea come from? You know, is it somebody's idea? Is it the community's idea? Because there are no such thing as community meetings. So I think that if you gave the people the opportunity to say exactly what it is that they want, then you're getting the most amount of people. And then my other question, I have a question regarding how many project managers are there?
So I can answer the second question first, and that is there are four construction managers often times referred to as project managers, but it's a dual role of construction management, which is also referred to as a project. In response to the first question, it's my understanding that the quality of life survey itself emerged out of the governmental services division, which was looking at a few elements. Eventually, as iterations went on, it emerged as a national survey that other areas thought, as long as we are issuing this, we'd like to understand our needs. But it was really always focused on the quality of life and what it would take to improve those dynamics of the quality of life. And that said, it is a survey as opposed to maybe what you're referring to as a census. A census is ask everyone and compile everyone's results. There is a certain number in which a survey becomes statistically relevant. So in other words, if there are 300 responses for a population of 7,000, then it's considered relevant within 5%. And that's based on actuaries' statistical data that shows that. So although we don't ask everyone, there's a broad opportunity of surveys cast out, but not everyone is returned and not everyone is asked. It's a representative sample that's indicated to be a tool for the nation to align to, as opposed to specific individual needs based on census information.
Then I really don't feel that it's an accurate survey, because you're only asking a limited amount of people what they think and want. And so, you know, you go downstairs and ask all the kids downstairs, do you want a new high school? Of course they're going to say it. But if you ask 17,000 tribal members, do you think a high school is a priority, what will they say?
Yeah, that may be more appropriate as a referendum type question.
I'm just using that as an example.
Sure.
You know, there are a lot of other examples that we could use, but I'm just using that one as an example.
Sure.
I just want to comment, too, on the, I know the health center is being used as an example on construction. Since that time, there's been a lot of changes in the construction process and involvement, and including DPW. We have an HVAC manager, electrical manager, plumbing, or master electrician, master plumber that are involved with zoning and doing the code inspections, and that was not available to us when the health center was built. So hopefully the buildings like the One Stop and other buildings that are in progress and in recent years will show better examples of the way the construction materials are selected. I agree with some of the points that are being made, and hopefully we'll avoid those same types of materials in the future for longevity and maintenance purposes and the quality. So that was, I'm not sure when it was built, if it was...
It was 2002.
Mm-hmm. So quite a few years ago. There's been a large emphasis on getting in the design involvement of from the maintenance perspective, I think it's shown some improvements. There's always things we're learning to do differently on the next project.
Thank you. I will move on then, and thank you for your Q&A, your
thank
presentation.
You.
Next item, environmental health and safety, is request of a deferral.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I make a motion to defer the United Environmental Health and Safety Division third quarter report to the July 27th BC meeting.
Second. Support.
Motion by Lisa, second by Brandon, to defer environmental health and safety report. Nancy?
I'm just asking what the reason is for the deferral, because this is not the first time. I believe this is like the third time that environmental health and safety in the land office has requested a deferral for their report. So I'm just looking for an excuse or what the reason is.
Today there's the clean sweep event that's happening over on Ranch Road, and so all of the staff are over there, including the division director, to help with that event.
But I thought
in the past there has been requests to make sure that somebody's present for the reports, so we're trying to continuously balance the need of the division to provide the report and the request from the community to have somebody present when those reports are provided. So we're trying to do both, and by deferring it, it allows them to be present next week when the report's provided.
But I thought there were over 30 people working in environmental, and this is, the clean sweep is not a new project, and you know, before when we've gone over there and dumped stuff, you know, we don't see the division director anywhere, you know, facilitating that. He has people that do that. So I take issue with when you're scheduled to give a report and you get it deferred. This is not the only, you know, one. There have been others. And, you know, I brought this up before. In the real world, when it's your turn to come up here and give a report and you have, you know, an excuse or you have whatever to defer it, that somehow is not okay, especially when you have a division that has as many people working in it as these two divisions. This, to me, seems the priority.
I understand your I understand your concern. Previous permission was provided to submit the request, and we're honoring that request at this time. So thank you.
It's a motion made and seconded to defer the environmental health and safety report. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to defer the development of land management report.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I make a motion to defer the Division of Land Management FY16 third quarter report to the July 27, 2016 BC meeting.
Support.
It's a motion by Lisa, second by Trish. What was their rationale? Oh, sorry, Fawn. Sorry about that, Fawn. What was the rationale for it?
Again, the division director is participating in the clean sweep event.
And I understand that, but many times he has sent other people from land management to represent him in his absence.
Sure they have, yep.
And so, you know, I think we just should try and be consistent about it, that's all.
Well, he asked, we're entertaining it, so that's what's taking place here today, and that's the normal process, so...
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, there was a second.
Yes, it was made by Lisa, second by Fawn. Any other questions or comments on land management deferral? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is the Anna John Residential Care Center report. They are also asking for a deferral.
So moved.
Is there support on the motion? There's a motion by Jenny, second by Trish, to defer the Anna John Residential Care Community Board report. In the report, it says they are still compiling information needed and will have it ready for the 27th meeting. All those in favor of the motion to defer the report, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Another item is the Oneida Arts Board quarter
report.
Move
to accept.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa, to accept the Arts Board report. Is there anyone here from the Arts Board? Any questions or comments on the report that was submitted? If not, motion to accept the Arts Board report. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Motion to adjourn, Madam Chair.
So motion to adjourn by Lisa. Is there support?
Support.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn to adjourn at 2:25. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.